We're in the 38th lesson in the book of 1 Samuel. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to chapter number 17. Take your finger down to verse number 24. That is where we will be starting. As you will remember, David had already arrived at the front battle line, expecting to go find his brothers. But when he arrived there, he heard David's taunt. And with hearing the words of Goliath, David was surprised by what he saw. We come to what David learned. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. The men of Israel said, "Have we seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Now David learned that King Saul had offered a threefold reward to the man who could kill Goliath. We have to remember here, it was a one-shot deal. Israel only had one chance to defeat Goliath. If Goliath won, Israel would become the servant of the Philistines. If the Israelite won, the Philistines would become the servant of Israel. Now, what were the three parts of the reward offered by King Saul to Israel's new champion, if he might be? First, Saul would give the man great wealth, make him wealthy. Second, Saul would give the man his daughter as a wife. Third, Saul would decree the man's father's house free in Israel. Now, the first two are easy to understand. The third part needs explanation. So we start with a question. Were the patriarchal fathers and those in their houses not free in Israel? No, they were not. But they were not slaves in the sense of slaves. Once Saul became king, he did exactly what the Lord told the people he would do. He required a tax from every household every year to pay for the government needs. The promise was that the father's house would be free. Why the father's house? The patriarchal father was the oldest living man in the family. He owned everything in the family. If he had five sons who had five wives and 35 grandchildren and 15 great-great-grandchildren, none of his descendants who lived on the family plot assigned back in the days of Joshua paid taxes to the king. Only the oldest man in the family paid the taxes. The patriarchal father paid the taxes for the entire family. So in order to free David from taxes, Saul had to free Jesse from taxes. But not only taxes, if you remember. In the Lord's warning to the people about having a king, the king would also force men over 20 years of age to serve in the army. In addition, he could force people in Israel into service as servants, etc. And with the promise to the man of his daughter as a wife, if he killed Goliath, that promise literally elevated the family members who would then be considered royal status in the nation. So in doing so, that man's older family members would also be considered royalty. So therefore, if David killed Goliath, he would marry the king's daughter, instantly transform his father's house and all of his father's descendants into royals, and they would never pay taxes again or do anything of the common people, such as serve in the army or be servants in the government places or be forced to do labor for government projects. Jesse's family would forever be free from all of that. All of the reward had been told to the men at the front line. David had not heard it yet. So we come to what David asked in verse number 26. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of living God?" The people answered him in accord with this word, saying, "Thus it will be done for the man who kills him." So at the front line, David saw and heard the Philistine giant taunt the Israelites. He asked the question about the rewards. The men repeated the rewards to David as they had heard them previously. But David's brothers were not impressed with David's questions. We come to what David had to endure from his brothers in verse number 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and your wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." But David said, "What have I done now? Was it not just a question?" Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing, and the people answered the same thing as before. Well, if you remember, Eliab was there when David was chosen to be anointed as the next king of Israel. He knew the secret. And from this passage, we can tell that Eliab was not happy with David. A favorite friend of mine, who is now with the Lord, had a wonderful saying. His name was Dixon Murray, and he was the head of the counseling ministry where I was a member and served for more than 30 years. And about the stories that he would hear from the people in his counseling office, he would say, "The problem is never the problem." In other words, the problem the people are complaining about his office was never the real problem. The problem always was something else that the person did not want to expose in the meeting. And when we were out eating Chinese food, as we did regularly, his saying would come up in almost every time we were at the table together. And he would say the problem was never the problem. And I would say back to him, because of my office and what I heard in my office, I would say, "Well, you say the problem is never the problem, but I would say it this way. The reason is never the reason." Both fit this passage. Eliab's anger was not because David had come to the front line. Eliab's problem was because David had been chosen over him. The reason Eliab gave for the anger was not that he was better than all of the other brothers and could shirk his duties at home, leave those few sheep. Remember that, we're going to come to that again later on. Leave the few sheep without a keeper so that they could wander off to go see the excitement on the battle line. If this reasoning had been found in the book of Job, I tell you this, at the end of the book of Job, when the Lord showed up, Eli would have been chastised by the Lord. I mean, his plate would have been cleaned by the Lord, just as Job's so-called three friends had their plate cleaned by the Lord when the Lord showed up to them. Eli would be chastened by the Lord. Now, David answered Eliab with two questions. David turned to ask the other men the same questions. And what did David hear from the rest of the men? Well, he heard the promises of the rewards of the king repeated to them. So it was time for David to speak with Saul. He was Saul's armor bearer and he was Saul's musician. He had every right to draw near to the king. It was his place. David's encounter with Saul was next, and so we hear David's offer. When the words which David spoke were heard, They told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now David knew that this army was the army of the living God, and he said it back in verse number 26. And David must have been somewhat incensed that no warrior of the army of the living God had stepped forward. Therefore, he volunteered to his boss, the king. But we next hear David's rejection as a volunteer by the king in verse 33. Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." What's Saul's reason for rejecting David as the nation's challenger to Goliath? What is that reason? He was but a youth. David was under the age of 20 years. He could not be in the army. That was Saul's decision, and that was Saul's reasoning. When the writer goes on to say, "While he has been a warrior from his youth," what does that mean? It means that the writer is telling us this story long after this story occurred, probably after the death of Saul and while David was king. But he's also talking about Goliath has been a warrior since his youth. So when David defeats Goliath, all we know he will defeat Goliath, because we know the rest of the story. More than 13 years later, when David is king, the writer can say, David was a warrior from his youth also. Such is all that phrase means. Goliath had been a warrior from his youth, and later on we're going to hear that David was a warrior from his youth. Now, David did not accept Saul's rejection. We come to David's explanation, verse number 34 in chapter 17. But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." As a youth, David had fought and won the battle between two fierce animals, the lion and a bear. It's a good thing he wasn't a Levite in the line for the high priest, because he cannot touch either of those two and then become the high priest. But he's not in the Levite line. He's not of the Aaron's line. He's a Judite. So he can fight this lion and he can fight this bear. And in his mind, Goliath was no challenge for him. Perhaps Goliath would have been afraid of a lion or a bear. Who knows? But in this case, David is fearless because he will be fighting for the living God, and the living God will deliver him. Now, we have to wonder about David's thinking. David knows Samuel's reputation. When Samuel speaks, everyone listens. When Samuel speaks, things happen. When Samuel would not have anointed David to be king if David was going to die at the hands of Goliath, David must have had some assurance in his heart and mind that the Lord had chosen him to be the deliverer of Israel against this giant. After all, David was there when the Lord told Samuel that David was the chosen one to be the next king, and he was anointed. With that, David did have an inside track with the Lord. Now, David's explanation turned into David's acceptance. Verse number 37b, "And Saul said to David, 'Go, and may the Lord be with you.'" A statement like that by Saul meant that Saul was at the end of his rope and needed a deliverer for Israel. Perhaps he thought that if David killed a lion or a bear, he could kill a giant. We must remember, telling David to go fight the giant took all the destiny of Israel out of Saul's hands and put the destiny in the hands of David. However, Saul hit on the real answer when he said, "May the Lord be with you." Without knowing, Saul spoke exactly what would happen with David. The Lord would be with David. But being in a battle, Saul, for some reason, thought that he had to make David look like a warrior of Israel. We come to David's dress, verse number 38. Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. David girded up his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. Even though David was Saul's armor bearer, David had never tried the armor on. In addition, Saul was the tallest man in all of Israel, head and shoulders above every other Israelite man. Saul's armor would not fit David. David was too small. In addition, as the verse says, David had never attempted to fight in armor. He did not have the training to manage the armor and the task of fighting at the same time. So we come to David's concern that he spoke to Saul, verse number 39b. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." And David took them off. David simply told Saul that he did not have the time to practice in the armor, so he took it off. And so David left Saul and gathered his own weapons of choice. David's weapons, verse number 40. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Listen, a stick, 5 smooth stones, and a sling. These were the weapons of choice selected by David. David chose to fight with the weapons he had used all his life. These were the weapons he used in the field with the flocks. He had the stick, that means the staff, that he used to prod the animals along. He had the sling, which he used to ward off animals of prey with rocks. He had rocks in his bag, and like his staff, he must have carried his weapons with him all the time. And in his pouch, in his man purse, we might call it today, for that's what we call that clothing of a man who carries a purse or whatever it is today, because they did not have pockets. David placed 5 smooth stones, carefully selected for their size, for their texture, for their strength, from the stream that separated the army of Israel, that stream right there, that separated the army of Israel, right there, from the army of the Philistines. Everyone saw David stoop down to select the stones. He selected 5. He only needed 1, as we will see. We cannot escape one important point here. It's not told to us here, but we learn it later. David was a godly youth who had a relationship with the Lord. Before he went to meet Goliath, I'm telling you, he spent time with the Lord. And we know what he said to the Lord in his worship. And he wrote a song about it later on. But this was his thoughts. It comes from Psalm number 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Valley of Elah is also known as the Valley of Death, because what is about to happen to Goliath? Psalms 23 was written by David to commemorate that day, to give praise to the Lord. That even though he walked through this valley of the shadow of death, he would not fear. He would not have, for no evil he would fear. For his rod and his staff, they were comforting. Prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, where all the enemies of the Philistines could see. His head had been anointed with oil to be the next king, and his cup overflowed, and he knew that he was going to follow the Lord all the days of his life and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's the whole story of David's life, and David knows that his life is not going to end at this point. So David encounters Goliath. And what he encountered was expected. Goliath's words were expected too. Verse number 41. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" The Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." Goliath was insulted, to say the least. The great army of Israel's God sent a youth with nothing but a stick, a staff, to fight against this giant. Evidently, Goliath had not seen the sling at this time. Even if he had, Goliath probably would not have even been concerned at all. It's just a sling with a few little rocks. He had a helmet. He had whatever he needed. He had his covering. A little rock couldn't hurt him. But he had a plan for David. And if Goliath won, no doubt David's flesh would have been fed to the birds and to the beast. But David heard Goliath's words, and then Goliath heard David's words. Verse number 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, and I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." David took the words of Goliath and spun them back on Goliath in great detail. In addition, David's words were not pointed only at Goliath, but they were pointed at the Philistine warrior standing behind Goliath. Once Goliath's head was off his body, the Philistine's army behind him would be defeated, and their bodies would suffer the same fate as what Goliath promised David for his own body. So the battle between David and Goliath began with Goliath moving first. But in reality, there was no battle at all. We see David's action. Verse number 48. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David quickly ran toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Goliath did not even swing one of his weapons at David. David caught him with one blow between his eyes. It must have cracked his skull and damaged the giant's brain, for Goliath fell on his face. And even though Goliath was dead, Goliath's death would be capped with his own weapon in the hand of David verse number 50. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Goliath was face down. The Philistine army must have seen David raise Goliath's great sword and drop it on the neck of the giant. Then David must have picked up Goliath's head by the hair and held it for all to see. The wager was over. Man against man. Israel had won. What would the Philistines do? They would run in fear. Why? They had heard the words of David. Surely they knew they were about to become the food for the birds and the beast. And with that, Israel had heard the words of David too, and the chasing of the Philistines ensued, just as David had foretold. And here is a summary of what the Israelites did. Verse number 52. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the slain Philistines lay along the way to Shearim, even to Gath and Ekron. The sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps.